May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be forever pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and in the fellowship of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the adverts for the 12th season of The Farmer Wants a Wife are out. The series returns in September. There are no WA farmers taking part. I guess WA farmers are better at romance. All five participants do work with livestock, though, which suggests it's a lonely profession. Four of the five work with sheep. When the programme airs, it may give a rather glamorous view of what shepherding is like. Celebrity shepherds, indeed. Shepherding is hard, tough work. Protecting the flock from wolves is dangerous. Living outside on the hills involves hardships. Sheep require constant care and attention to find good pasture land. Otherwise, they wander off, nibble some azaleas or rhododendron, and then injure themselves. In Psalm 23, David describes God as shepherd, the one who provides, protects, and cares. David also uses the imagery of travelling companion and host to further explain relationship with God. These words are probably the most popular of the Psalms, and maybe even the most famous of all poems ever. David grew up looking after the sheep as the youngest son of Jesse. Then he played the harp in Saul's court. And finally, he was called to shepherd the people of Israel as their king. Today, for us, Psalm 23 speaks powerfully of Jesus, who described himself as the Good Shepherd in John 10. So firstly, God provides a shepherd in verses 1 to 3. The psalm begins and ends with a reference to the Lord. David writes about the God who made covenant promises in the Old Testament and fulfills them in Jesus in the New Testament. The Creator God who reveals his way to David in the Scriptures. God acts first and then David responds. David uses the pronoun he for God three times and then directly addresses God as you. Three times. As David considers what God has done, he is drawn to approach God in hopeful praise. This is a good model for us to follow, particularly when things are difficult. We start by remembering what God has done in creating us and through Jesus living a perfect life and dying for us. This then stimulates us to thankful worship. With God as his shepherd, David is confident he will not be in want. Rather, David will enjoy rest and food, water and reviving, and be guided along straight paths. The imagery of a shepherd is used throughout the Bible. Isaiah writes that God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Jeremiah promised that he who scattered Israel will gather them and watch over his flock like a shepherd. In John 10, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd who enters by the gate, leads his sheep with his voice to find pasture, and lays down his life to protect them. God provides for his name's sake to maintain his reputation and honor for his glory. This relationship is personal. The Lord is my shepherd. The story is often told of someone with learning difficulties who was taught to link each word with a finger. The Lord is my shepherd. And when this person died, they were found holding their fourth finger, my. They died in the knowledge and the enjoyment of a personal relationship with God. I wonder if you're aware of God's provision and guidance for you. Perhaps as you think over your life, you can remember times when you've enjoyed quiet refreshing and when there were fewer cares. Maybe you can also think of times when God has kept you away from harmful things, practices, or people, and turned you instead to good paths. There is a painful implication to God as shepherd, though. We're not the big beasts, birds of prey, or graceful herds we like to think of ourselves as being. We are poor, smelly sheep. We are foolish like sheep that go astray, going our own way. As well as promising blessing of pasture and liberation under a covenant of peace, God also promises to judge the sheep for trampling the pasture land, for muddying the waters, and for pushing the weak out. God as shepherd does not mean we do not have real choices and are held accountable for them. As far as we are able, let's be good members of God's flock and choose the good paths. Where we have failed, let's seek God's forgiveness, remembering his tender care and knowledge of us as shepherd. Secondly, then, God protects as travelling companion in verse 4. God's provision does not mean that life will always be lush pasture land. There are dark and difficult places to go through. Death, or the fear of death, is perhaps the most difficult. Thinking of these places and times causes David to speak directly to God. You are with me. An awareness of God as travelling companion, coming alongside in the tough times, can help us to keep going. It's a bit like the Back Roads TV programme, where the reporter is accompanied by friends as she explores Australia. David is confident and without fear of evil because he knows God's protection. As a shepherd, David himself personally saved sheep from bears and lions. For this reason, the Palestinian shepherd normally carried two implements, a club or a rod to fend off wild beasts, and a crook or a staff to guide and to control the sheep. David is aware of God using both in his life. The comfort of God's rod and staff is not a sofa cushion or a bedtime pillow, but strong steel to support through the hard times and protect from evil. Comfort's original meaning of with strength. David's inner strength is grounded in who God is. Notice that a shepherd has authority over a sheep. The shepherd makes me lie down, leads me, and guides me. The shepherd counts the sheep as they pass under the rod and are redirected by the crook. This authority is exercised for David's good, to feed in green pasture, to drink from quiet waters, to restore my soul, to walk on good paths, and to bring safely through the dark valley. When discussing building the temple, God asked David, "Did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel?" The rulers of Israel are the shepherds of Israel. They receive their authority from the command of God. The dominant model in the Bible for servant leadership in ministry is that of shepherd or pastor. Those who exercise authority in the church are to do so for the good of others. Those under authority are to treat their shepherds with respect and honor. How we treat God and how we treat our pastors are linked. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. This self-sacrifice is what marks him out as the good shepherd. This is true love. A love that perseveres in the face of danger and even death. A love that protects from harm, taking the wounds in our place. On the cross, Jesus overcame death and sin for us. This was no accident or failure, but a deliberate act. Jesus lays down his life. It is not taken from him. He has authority to do so. He can also take it up again. This was God's eternal plan. It is achieved when the shepherd is struck. In the sacrificial system, lambs would be killed for the sins of both people and rulers. But here the Good Shepherd dies for the people like a lamb. Jesus is both priest and sacrifice. When it comes to death, Jesus can guide as he has walked the road through the valley of the shadow of death before us. And he came out the other side triumphant. Jesus warns about the hired hand who is motivated by self-interest. This can be seen when the wolf comes as the hired hand runs away. The sheep are not his, and he does not truly care for them. Jesus was speaking about the Pharisees, who were spiritually blind. This language of good and false shepherds is found in Ezekiel 34. False shepherds care for themselves rather than the flock. They exploit the sheep for their own gain, and they fail to care for the wounded or search for the lost. The sheep are scattered. They are vulnerable without the protection of a shepherd. God turns against these false shepherds and removes them. God rescues the sheep from their mouths. God himself will come to search for his sheep and to look after them. God will gather, feed, rest, heal, and strengthen his sheep with justice. Although the sheep are scattered, they will be gathered into one flock with one shepherd when they listen to Jesus' voice. Perhaps you know of times when God has protected you from false teaching. Maybe the prosperity gospel that promises you can name and claim what you want and receive self-fulfillment from God. Or a social gospel that replaces eternal salvation with meeting physical need. Or a works righteousness that says you can earn your way to God's favor rather than receiving a gift of grace through faith in Jesus alone. These lead to a form of slavery and are spiritually abusive. We need a faithful traveling companion, one who can get us through the dark valley to our eternal home. So thirdly, God hosts a heavenly banquet in verses 5 to 6. Verse 5 describes a banquet. The host would welcome the guest by anointing their head with oil, providing a table of food and a cup of blessings. David was anointed king by Samuel. He knew what it was like for food and drink to be brought to him and his troops while rebels were nearby. A feast prepared in the presence of his enemies. There are enemies of God, and there will be a time when they are shown to be wrong, and they see it for themselves. Vindication and an end to rebellion were not far away. The imagery of banquet is used by Jesus and in Revelation to speak of heaven. We need to RSVP to this awesome invite. David is confident that he will dwell in the house of the Lord for the length of his days. This confidence is based on two of God's attributes, goodness and love. Love here is the steadfast covenant love of God. Since God is both good and loving, David knows that God will pursue his promises. There are moments now when we get a foretaste of them. This side of Jesus' resurrection, his victory over death, we understand more clearly how believers will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. With David, we need to trust in Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to get us there. Jesus knows his sheep. This is more than just knowing of someone's existence. This is an intimate knowledge of who we are by the person who created us. God knows us. Everything about us. Despite our repeated rebellion, he gives us grace. Jesus' sheep know him. We can have knowledge of God. Jesus gives us his righteousness, and as a result, we can participate in the love of God. We can say with honesty and humility, we know God. We know the Creator and the Redeemer. We may approach with confidence in prayer, knowing that we will be heard and answered. The imagery of the shepherd helps us appreciate the intention of Jesus to bring us into intimacy with God. The three parts of the psalm form a narrative around the central theme that God is with David. The story goes like this. It's the dry season and the sheep are hungry and thirsty. So the shepherd takes them to the land where the first green shoots are appearing. Then to the water where they can regain their strength. Then he leads them along good paths through the dark valley, keeping close watch so they stay safe. The shepherd counts them under his rod and uses his staff to support and to guide them. The shepherd uses his two muster dogs, Goody and Lovely, to bring the sheep home to the pen. Finally, at the end of the long day, the shepherd provides a feast while the wolves howl with frustration outside. The purpose of this narrative is to make us appreciate God's provision and protection and to look forward in hope. Perhaps we can spend some time this week thinking about how God has provided for us, kept us, and guided us. This should make us want to seek God and to be more aware of his presence with us. We do that by reading his word, listening to the shepherd's voice, so that we walk those good paths. We pray with hope and thankfulness as we anticipate the security and the joys of heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, enable us to see our need and to trust in the provision and protection of the Good Shepherd. Thank you that Jesus laid down his life for us. Please help us to listen to the word so that we are guided in right paths and know you are with us in the dark places. Grant us confidence, hope, and joy in your promise of a home forever. Give us grace and boldness to reach out to others. Amen.